Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. About his grace that brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about his goodness and think about his grace that brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's
about the depth, the width, the length, the breadth of the love of God, that we may know it. It says, then if we cannot get that and understand that, we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. Thank you for that amazing love. Thank you for your incredible love. Thank you for your love that passes all understanding. Thank you for your love that covers all transgressions. Thank you for your love that loves to the end. Thank you for your love that sees us through. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for the opportunity tonight to be here. Thank you for the opportunity for everyone who's also online to be there. Thank you because we have the privilege of hearing from you. And indeed, you will enable me to speak as your mouthpiece and minister us of the power that only you can supply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so good to see you all. You can have your seats. And, you know, I was just as we prayed, and I think Brother Toby addressed some of that. I was thinking about the fact that, you know, I was talking to somebody. Somebody called me this week. I was discussing. She's going through a difficult time and all of that. And she said something about, I'm tired. You know, and I said, you know, that's like, That's the end time strategy that I see. It's not what you go through, you know, that makes the difference. It's how tired you become. You know, and that's also what Pastor Emma was talking about, you know, the what do you call it? The being worked up, you know, when you say it's to wear us out. You know, it's to wear us out. I'm blessed already. Amen. That's the purpose of being in church, is that it strengthens us. Amen. I'm tired, as you can imagine. I actually came in this morning, and I've been up and about, straight from the airport to the office, from there to an event, from there here. You know, so there's been no rest whatsoever in that sense. But I'm already strengthened. You know, and I was telling this person, I said, you know, I found that it's how tired the devil can get us to be. That's like pulling the rug from under your feet. You know, he ensures that he weakens us over time. So the things you'll find, it becomes more difficult to pray. You know, so people don't have time to pray. The idea is not just prayer in itself that the devil is after, or you are too discouraged, you are too angry, something has gone wrong, and you feel upset, you feel like God let you down. The idea is not just any of that. The idea is that if he can take that away from you, he's weakening you. Just like Hebrews chapter 10 says, you know, Hebrews chapter 10, we know from verse 24, which talks about we should learn to provoke one another to love and to good works, okay? And it says that if we do that, or how do we do that? It said by verse 25, by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, even much more. Can I hear you say much more? So much more means that even as the economy becomes tighter. Are you following what I'm saying? Much more means that even as things are more difficult, much more. And what that implies also is that he knows that it's going to become more difficult. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's already implicit in that statement, but he knows that it's probably going to become more difficult for us to gather. You know, even as I sat, you know, in the UK, I was just, was that last week? I just got up and I said, today, I'm going to church. That was on a Wednesday, midweek service. I said, I'm going to church. I said, you know, I just have not been going to the midweek service, joint service and all that here. I said, but I go to midweek service. I said, so I just realized, what is all this? I said, I'm going to midweek service. You know, and that day also, incidentally, I had meetings and meetings and meetings, and I was tired. But I struggled, and I just kept telling myself, you must not fail. You know, and I got all dressed, jumped in the car, and drove down there. And then I got there, and there was no service. Then I got back, and my son was laughing. He said, oh, Daddy, what happened? I said, we finished very quickly. Then he laughed. He said, no. He said, there's no service. He said, it's only the last Wednesday of the month. I said, so you knew? You didn't tell me. You know, he said, but it's in the announcement, so it means I wasn't listening to announcements. But that's because they will take the offering at the same time as the announcement. You know, they'll be doing all this, you know, video announcement, and the offering is going on, so I'm busy doing offering and all of that. So that's why I don't like some of those things, you know. But then at the end of the day, I just thought to myself, again, what has happened here is that they also have felt that, oh, people don't come enough, you know, to midweek service. Let's do once in a month. And I thought, no. There are many who do virtual now, isn't it? For me, and I said, no, that's not what the scriptures say. Add virtual on top of what you are doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, why? Because people are going to get tired. He said, we provoke ourselves to love and to good works. We encourage ourselves when we come together. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. We're booting. Are we? We're booting. You know, also as I was listening to the testimony, I was remembering one of the testimonies. So we, as you know, we have the Compass, which is monthly, you know, online fellowship. And there's a lady in Netherlands who was then sharing also about angels. And she was sharing about how they were listening, she and her son, listening to the message on angels. And the boy decided to act on it. I think it was a phone that they ordered, you know, his phone. They ordered a phone. And it was one of those iPhone, whatever things that they say you can't get it until several weeks' time. There was a backlog and things like that. And the boy said, no, I deploy angels. And said, my own is coming, you know, this week. He said, he even went and told his friend, said, my own is coming this week. He said, it's impossible. He said, no, it's coming because I have sent angels. That phone came. Are you with me? I said, are you there? I may not remember it accurately, but it's something like that. Are you okay? So God's word works. Can I hear you say God's word works? Now, go with me to Joshua. I will be very, well, hopefully. I will try to be brief. Amen. Joshua chapter 5. And in recent times, I deal with something that God's been laying on my heart, which will still, I mean, first Sunday is coming up, our virtual fellowship, online fellowship, and that's also still the theme I'll be addressing, which is basically around hearing God. If I were to ask you, what would be the most important thing in your walk with God, or the most important secret of success in life that you think God can offer you, what would you say it is? I don't think it's any one thing. I think that we have to be rounded. I think that there are many things that we must do as believers that will make us be who God wants us to be. Okay? But if you were going to say, okay, pick one thing, what would you be thinking about? You can talk about the favor of God. Isn't it? Yeah, favor means what? You get what you don't deserve. You get what you are not thinking about. So, I'm just sharing testimony. So, I was going to buy laptops for the office. So, I went online. I looked at the laptops. I saw the type I wanted. Then I decided not to buy it yet. I said, I'm going to go to the shop itself, you know, and I'll go and look at it there and buy it right there as long as the price is not higher, you know, and they don't say it's only, that one is an online discounted price, you know. So, I got to the place. I saw this guy, we got talking, but in fact, a lady came, approached me, I talked to her, I told her what I was looking for, and they didn't have it in store. I knew they didn't have it in store because I checked online, but that's the closest store to me. So I thought, okay, they can order it to that store for me, you know, ultimately, and I pick it up there later. So this lady comes, asks me what I want, and I told her this is what I want. So she goes around, shows me one or two, and I said, no, these are the specifications, this is what I want, you know, and that this is what I already saw online. While she was looking around, this guy walks up to me and says, can I help you? And I said, no. Somebody's already dealing with it. And the guy goes, an Indian apparently, goes away. And when the lady finally comes and I said, look, I don't want any of these other ones. This is what I want. You know, she then goes to that guy to ask the guy. So the guy came back to me and said, you see, I think it's destiny that I will take your money. So I said, it looks like it, you know, and we got chatting, you know, we chatted a bit. And then I showed him blah, blah, blah. And he said, okay, he brought out his tablet and looked at it and all of that. Then he goes away. Then he comes back to me again. He says, look, can you wait for 7 days? And I'll give you a better discount even than that. You know, and I said, no, I can't. I don't have 7 more days, you know. I said, I have to take it like this. Then he goes away. He says, okay, I think there's another discount I can get for you. I'm talking about favor. Okay? So he says, there's another discount I can get for you. Then he tries. He calls the manager. The thing wasn't working. He says, oh, I'm so sorry, my friend. You know, it looks like that thing cannot work. He said, but I'll tell you what to do. He said, go home. Don't buy, you know, don't. He said, I can order. He said, but don't do it. He said, you go home, order it, and put this code in, and you get that discount. You know, so I went and I put the code in, and I got the discount. Okay? So that was favor. But when I left the shop, I was my daughter, and we drove and went, you know, decided, oh, my wife was in another town nearby. So we drove there to say, let's pick her up on the way home. And then when we got there, we traced her. We had this app. We were looking at her online, GPS, and we found her. And then we were walking together in that place. And there was this guy doing, you know, there were people selling on the streets. And this guy was doing barbecue. And the guy just looks, hey, do you like lamb? I said, yeah. And he just put, put lamb in the pack and gave it to me. I said, thank you, you know. And I was hungry as well. I was thinking, I'm hungry, oh. You know, and this guy goes, do you like lamb? I said, sure. And then he put the lamb for me and just gave it to me. My wife said, how much? I said, shh, it's not today. There's no how much here. I like lamb. She said, no, you're not paying. I said, no. The guy asked me if I like lamb and gave me lamb. Why can't you believe in the favor of God? And truly it was the favor of God. The guy just dashed me lamb like that. You know, and then he goes, give me. I said, my friend, you have to believe in favor. Are you there? So the favor of God will help you. Psalm 5 and verse 12, isn't it? It says, surely you will bless the righteous. Okay? and then he puts a semicolon. He says, with favor you will surround him as with a shield. The word bless means to empower to make progress, to empower to prosper. So you need favor for you to make progress. And he says this is how he empowers the righteous to make progress. He surrounds them with favor as with a shield. This is how I think about it. This is one of the scriptures that I speak, confess, pray about every day. And this is how I think about it. If he says that he surrounds me, it means that even when I'm not looking, favor is working for me. It means even when I don't know it, people are discussing me, and they are discussing me for good. Are you there? But I think that one of the critical things that every believer needs in this day and now is to be sure of the voice of God in their lives. I think it's perhaps the most critical thing that we need is for us to hear and be certain when God is telling us something. I don't think it's something very highfalutin. I don't think it's something incredible, amazing, big, or huge. I think it's a normal birthright of the believer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when the Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, it means that one of the ways you can tell, the Son of God, is that he is led by the Spirit of God. So it becomes one of the fundamental signs. So Pastor NY said, when Tio was born, he has 6 fingers. Abi? Then he said, this one is my son. Why? Because he had 6 fingers when he was born. So when he's all 6 fingers, he said, this one is my son. Fundamental. You know, one day, you see, my toes have this marks. I don't know how you describe them. I don't do manicure, pedicure, and all of those things, you know. But it has these marks on them. My toe has these marks on them. So one day, my son was looking at his toes. My dad had the same marks on his toes. The toes are just like, as if somebody took a blade and cut lines on the toenail, you know. So he was looking at it and looking at it and looking at it and looking at it. I said, you're wondering about your toenails. He said, yes. I said, it's an Odubanjo sign. He said, really? I said, just wait. Then I removed my shoe. I said, look at it. Then he began to smile. I said, so it's a mark of your identity. Are you with me? So when the Bible talks about that, and it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, it means that what it's telling us is that the sons of God, we can tell them by the fact that they are led by the Spirit of God. We can determine who is a son of God by the fact that they are led. So hear this. It means that when people say, when somebody says, God led me or God said to me, and people are saying, all these people that say God said to me, if you're a believer and you can't say that, then we need to examine you. We need to do a DNA test. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you're a Christian and you are never able to say that God said to me, now, God said to me comes in many forms, okay? This can be a very long teaching. And don't worry, I'm not in a hurry. Is that okay? I'm not in a hurry. So if I don't, it doesn't mean we'll be here till midnight. But if I don't finish, I'll continue next time, okay? So I'm not in a hurry. But it means that the children of God hear God. It means that we ought to be able to say, every now and then, every so often, that God said to me. We ought to be able to say, oh, I knew that was coming. I knew that was so. I knew that was going to happen. Why? Because God said it to me. Or God showed it to me. Or I sensed it. However you want to put it. But basically, it's the fact that you are being led by the Spirit of God. So the question tonight, actually, that I'm asking is how would you be sure? But let's look at Joshua, which is my text. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 6. It said, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people who were men of war, who came out of Egypt, were consumed. Because, can I hear you say because? I didn't hear that. Say it again. Because what? they did not obey the voice of the Lord. That's what I wanted to say. So this verse sums up and says, look, all of their problem and wandering for 40 years is because they didn't obey the voice of the Lord. We can sum it up that way, that there are challenges in life. And this is my honest view, that our lingering challenges in life linger because we do not hear and obey the voice of the Lord. Now, please note what I did not say. I did not say that you will not have challenges. Okay? I didn't say you won't have challenges. I said it lingers because you did not hear and obey what God is saying. Because once you obey what God is saying, He will show you the way out of the situation. Are you with me, anybody? He will tell you what to do with it. It can be something silly. They called Elisha sometime, and he said, look, we went to cut trees. They went to cut trees, and the axe fell. The head of the axe fell inside the water, and of course, it's very heavy, so it sank. And they called him, and they said, alas, for it is borrowed. Okay, so his double jeopardy is gone, and he's a borrowed one. And what did he do? Anybody read the Bible? He caught what? A stick. And he threw it on the water, and the axe head floated. So you ask yourself, why did he cut a stick and throw a stick in the place? He said, show me where it fell. And they showed him, and he just cut a stick, and he threw it there. Are you with me? And the axe head floated. I'm trying to remember now. There's, anyway, because some of these historical things. There's this CAC minister who tapped from the revival, you know, that Apostle Babalola had then. And he was an Ibadan man. He went to Ibadan. I have the book at home. You know. But he brought a lady who had died 3 days, pregnant. And they brought so that they would pray. They brought the lady to his meeting or to the campground where he held his revivals. They wanted him to pray. The prayer is not wake him up. They wanted him to pray that this is a disaster. This is an omen and that this kind of thing is a taboo. So it's bringing an omen or a curse in that family. So they were saying, just pray before we bury her so that this kind of thing will not happen again in her family. And instead of praying that, the man just began to sprinkle water on the lady and called her name, wake up, wake up, wake up, and the lady woke up. So why would you wake her up when they didn't ask you to wake her up? Are you following what I'm saying? You are hearing something. There's a directive, there's command, there are instructions coming from somewhere. The Bible says you will hear a voice behind you saying this is the way. Walking in it. So there are directions that come to you as a child of God. He said these guys were walking around for 40 years because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. Are you still there, anybody? Go to Deuteronomy 28. So maybe what we'll get to establish today is the importance of the voice of the Lord. But I'm happy that I said a few things to assure you that this is our birthright. Can I hear you say this is our birthright? You know, I can tell you many stories, big and small. When I say big and small, it means about big things and about small things. You know, like just thinking of somebody and my phone rings, is that exact person. So you hear. I'm sure you've experienced those things before. Don't wave them away. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's how you begin to practice the hearing. That's how you begin to take note and practice hearing the voice of the Lord and obeying Him. When He gives you an instruction, I was listening to Andrew Womack, and he said somebody gave him a football cap, gave him a cap for a football team. Football is what in the U.S.? It's not football. It's, Americans are just upside down. So football is something else. It's not really football. So when you are speaking to an American, don't say football, say soccer. If you are talking football, say soccer so that you clarify, if they football, they are thinking something else. Okay, but this guy had this cap, and it was an expensive, unique, rare cap
that somebody gave him. Okay? And he said, he thought to himself, I'm not even a fan of the sport. He said, so why did this guy give it to me? And he said, God spoke to him. And God said, that cap, I will show you who it's for. You know, he said, just hold that cap. I'm going to show you who that cap is for. He said, and he was going to have a ministry board meeting. And God said, wear that cap. He said, so he wore the cap and went for the meeting. He said, when he got in, there was a board member who said, oh, wow, you have this cap. I've been looking for this cap. And God said, the cap is for him. He said, and he said, this cap is for you. And the guy said, wow, we've been looking for him. My son has looked for this cap. We've worn this cap so badly, blah, blah, blah. And God said, I'm going to give you this cap. And then you walk in with the cap. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God will speak to you for the big things, and he will speak to you for the small things. One of the ones I can't forget was the week, you know, COVID 2020, the week when they shut down the skies. That week, that very week. I knew people got stuck, you know, got stuck outside the country, and they couldn't come back for months. They just got stuck because the skies were shut down. And that week, I was going to the UK. Looking at everything, public health wise, my wife was to come, you know, to the country, and she had made the plans. This was in March. So I'd actually been for a meeting somewhere in late February. So the old scare had started late 2019. We had been seeing stuff about what's going on in China 2019. February 2020, I was on my way back from East Africa. We had somebody who collapsed and passed out, you know, and there was a lot of panic, you know, on ground, really. So we had to manage the lady. She gave up the ghost only God knows how many times before we landed and all of that. So, but we had to manage that, and it took so long before they came to evacuate her when we landed, and everybody had left the plane. And later, somebody was saying, oh, thank you for, you know, sorting this out, and said those guys took so long because they were afraid that it was COVID. I said, but if they were afraid it was COVID, they waited too long because now everybody has left the plane. If they have all caught COVID, they have gone and spread it. They should have kept all of us here. You know, but anyway, so that was happening. The thing was heightening now. You know, the fear was now going all around the world. And she had said, so my wife had said, I'm coming. And I said, she said, I'm coming in April, you know, for Easter. And I said, I don't think so. You know, I don't think you'll be able to fly. I said, but I'll come. I'll come visit before then. I'll come visit and I think you should just brace up, you know, that things will shut down. And so I traveled in March, and I went on a Monday. And as I booked the ticket, booked Monday, return on a Friday. And I was going. She then began to pester me, and she says, look, you're coming work days, Monday, Tuesday to Friday. I'll go to work every day, come back in the evening. He said, why don't you stay and go back on Saturday so that we have at least the whole day on Saturday. We can go out and blah, 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 and then you leave at night. And so I kept thinking about that request. I kept thinking about that request. And as I went to the airport on Monday, I kept thinking about the request. I picked my phone, and I wanted to call my agent, and I wanted to say, you know what, change my ticket to, you know, from Friday to Saturday. And I heard the voice of God say, no. Don't change it. Keep it on Friday. So I left it. I didn't call her. I left it for Friday. So I arrived, you know, at night, the UK, Monday night, you know, spoke, blah, blah, blah. When are you going back? I said, I'm going on Friday. And then Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday, they had the Abeokuta one, you know, the first case, blah, blah, blah. And things began to go haywire all over the world. And the airline shut down their whole booking system. There was things all over the news. Flights were being canceled and things were shutting down, you know, slowly. So I called this lady and I said, move me to Thursday. And she called me back. She said, I've never seen this kind of thing before. She said, I can't access anything on the airline thing. I can't access anything. They've cleared everything. They've locked us out of everything. I can't touch anything again. So I remembered what happened to me on Monday, and I said, don't worry, they're going to open it again. I said, I'm sure they'll open it again. I said, because I almost called you, but I heard God say, don't change the thing. I said, so I'm very sure. I heard God say, don't change it Saturday. I said, so I'm very sure that thing will open again. You know, then they open it again and say, oh, you'll have to pay this much if you and the fees, people are trying to, you know, change flights and all that. So it's going to be very expensive. You pay so much money to change it to Thursday, to move it forward, because people are now scrambling for seats. So I said, don't worry. I said, leave it like that. I said, God told me to leave it for Friday. I said, so I'm sure that the flight will go on Friday. You know, so she left it for Friday. And then Friday came, packed my bag, got in there. She then told me, she said, she called back later again to confirm. I said, oh, actually, we've been told that the last flight, you know, will be Saturday. You know, said, so you are right. So Friday should be okay. I said, well, I knew God said so, you know. And then I got in, flew. And as we were landing, first thing on Saturday morning, the captain spoke and he said, we have just been informed that this is the last flight. So the Saturday flight would not have happened. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about how critical the voice of God can be. Are you still there? Good news is our birthright. Abby? Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Are you following me tonight? Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. It says, now it shall come to pass, if, can I hear you say if? If means that it's conditional. If means that I have to do something. Okay? If means that there is a God part and there is a me part. Okay? There is a God side, there is a me side to my enjoying this blessing or this benefit. He said, now it shall come to pass if you diligently, can I hear you say diligently? Diligently means that it becomes your lifestyle. Are you following me? Diligently means that this is how you live. This is how you do things. This is how you operate. This is your normal modus operandi, is that you listen for God's voice. He said, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth and all these blessings. So all the blessings you are looking for lie in obeying the voice of the Lord. Are you with me? Everything you are looking for is right inside there. It's inside your ability to hear and obey. What is God saying? Hear and obey, because sometimes it says what you don't understand. Sometimes it says what it says to do something, and you're thinking, I think that's a little ridiculous. And I think that might be embarrassing. You know, if I did that, if I said this was what God said to do, you don't always have to tell people this is what God said to do. You don't always have to say that. Are you with me? But you have to obey always. Okay? God can tell you something and you keep it to your chest, but you obey. You know why you are doing what you are doing. Okay? I didn't say a word. Why did I keep it on Friday? Keep my return flight on Friday? I didn't say anything. Initially, I kept it to myself, but I knew I had God say, don't change it. Don't move it to Saturday. Keep it on Friday. Are you there? So it's inside of those blessings that we get everything we want. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. This is Jesus' comment. And I usually read this or share this on the basis of people are looking for even the miraculous. But the miraculous is a product of hearing what God has to say, whether you are just following the written word of God or you are hearing his commands to you, which will never violate the written word. Okay? But it's inside of that the miracles come out from. Are you with me? So this is Jesus speaking. Luke chapter 4, verse 23. He said to them, you will surely say to me, say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Then he said, assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country, but I tell you truly Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath, in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So Jesus' reference to those things is that they are saying, hey, just do this, just do this, just do it. Just do something. Just do a miracle now. Just do it now. And he said, it doesn't quite work like that. He was saying, so Elijah, you knew. There are many widows, but why did he go to Zarephath? Because there was a command. God said, if you read that story, God said what? He said, go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow woman there to feed you. So there was a specific command. You know, one of the big problems we also have is that we go and we harass people who have not been commanded to feed us. Are you following what I'm saying? We push in the physical. We harass in the physical. Whereas we just need to ask God, this thing I want to do or you want me to do, how am I supposed to do it? What step am I supposed to take? Where should I go? What should I do? Are you with me? You know, I was talking to a friend, and we're talking about some of the meetings he did back then, many, many years ago. I'm talking 25, 30 years ago. And he printed thousands and thousands of flyers and had this youth conference. We're in the university, youth conference. There are 50,000 youths. Or is it 5,000 youths together? And he got this big hall that government had in Ibadan. And we were all just in front like this, seated in front. And he was telling me, he said, you know, he did it for 4 years like that, repeatedly, 4 years. He said, you know, recently he was talking to God and he said, what was all that about? Why did you take me through all that journey? He said, and God said, you know, that everything then that he was seeing is what he's doing now. He said, and God said, look, I was, all of those things then, I was using them for something. And he began to tell about how there were people that he met and people that were impacted then who are now turning around to open certain doors for him, who are now important connections today, and who are saying it was that meeting then. Are you with me? I'm saying again that some of those times you don't even understand what it is. You don't even know why you had to do it that way. But you knew you had to do it. You remember Elijah on Mount Carmel. Elijah on Mount Carmel came and of course we know this story. Called the prophets of Baal. He said, put a sacrifice, prepare a sacrifice for them, prepare one for me. And we will pray, and the God who answers by fire will be the real God. Okay, so they did. They prepared their own, and the Bible says they had an advantage. They did their prayers from morning till evening. So that's like when you play table tennis, and you say, I give you what? 15 ahead. Those who don't play table tennis don't understand what I'm saying. You know, say it's 15 ahead, and you still come and beat the person. So they were there and they spent all day crying, and the Bible said they were even cutting themselves after a while and all that. And he said, better pray hard. Maybe your God has traveled. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe, and he was taunting them. And when it came to his turn, Elijah did something strange. He told them, he said, pour water on it. Okay? Are you getting what I'm saying? All you need to pray is pray. Let fire fall. Which one is water again? You know. So he told them, pour water. They poured water. If I remember correctly, they poured 7 times. He said, pour water, pour water, pour water. So the thing was soaked. Water was all over the floor. And yet he prayed, and bam, the thing caught fire. Why would he operate that way? That's what I'm trying to say to you. Because we realize later, when he was speaking, when he was praying, he said, let the people realize that I have done all these things at thy word. He said, Lord, answer by fire and let them realize that I've done all these things by thy word. Meaning, I'm not just flexing. Are you with me? I was watching somebody and was ministering, and he said, I want to do some spiritual gymnastics. I'll do some spiritual gymnastics now. And he said, anointed. Say, yeah, that's the name of my son. Oh, officer. Then he turns, and Jane, that's the name of my daughter. Oh, professor. And then he turns, say, oh, so spiritual gymnastics. And I thought to myself, God doesn't do spiritual gymnastics. Are you with me? He doesn't do it for fun. He doesn't do things for fun. He has a purpose. So when he was saying pour water, it wasn't spiritual gymnastics. God was actually telling him, I want you to do this. Because there are probably some skeptics there. You know, there will be some skeptics who will say, we don't even know, maybe he had already planted something there. Uh-huh. So when he was praying, you know, as he was moving his hand and praying, he was fanning the fire under it. You know, the people say all kinds of things. They will tell you, oh, that man who was raised from the dead, how do we know he was really dead? I mean, how do we know he was really dead? He wasn't moving. He wasn't breathing. I mean, many years ago, October 1, we were having a prayer meeting in Ibadan. And a lady was coming to church. You know, October 1 in the morning, about 9, 10 a.m. She was coming to church, and she took an Okada. And as the Okada parked on the opposite side of the road to drop her, a car came and just knocked them. Wah. And she was there. All gone. And then somebody rushed down to call us. You know, something has happened on the road, and went there. And people prayed, and she got up. But she had all kinds of injuries, so we took her to the hospital, ended up in UCH, and all of that. And somebody was telling me later, he said, Pastor, she was dead. She died. I said, he said, she died though. Me, I was one of the first witnesses on the scene when the thing hit them. I was there. I saw her. I bent over her. There was no sign of life. She was dead. Then somebody will come and say, oh no, it's not, God didn't raise her. How do you know? How do you know she really died? He's not a doctor now. Let's hit you with a car first. And let's try you out and see whether you will die or not. I mean, at least somebody was there says, look, may I mean, do you need a certificate to know if somebody's dead? I mean, if you saw somebody who died, you probably will know that this guy died. Even if it's for a few seconds, you probably know that this one wasn't breathing. There was nothing anymore. This one was dead. Are you still with me? But at the voice of the Lord. At the voice of the Lord. Can I hear you say the voice of the Lord? So the key thing is to know, and that's actually where I was going and where I'm going, but we will continue it next time, is to know, because we know that we have it as our birthright, but the question is, how will I know if it's God that's speaking to me? Okay, that's what many people battle with. I honestly can tell you that there's no child of God that doesn't hear from God. Some people go, and that thing crossed my mind, though. They say all kinds of things. Something told me all kinds of things that people say. But many times, more times than not, is God talking to them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the question that we'll be answering is, how will I be certain, or how can I be more certain that God is talking to me? Hallelujah. So who thinks we should answer those questions and explore that a little bit? So you come next time. Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Just take a moment and thank him. Thank him. Thank him that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Just thank him. Thank him that you are. One of my favorite scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. He said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. He that is joined to the Lord is one with him. One with him. One with him. So usually when I'm praying over 1 Corinthians 6, 17, I tell God, I thank you I thank you because I'm one with you. I'm one with you means that I know. When you cough, I know. When you sneeze, I know. When you wink, I know. And your slightest inclinations, I will pick it up. I have accuracy in the spirit. I thank you because I can't miss your direction. Because I am one with you. I will not have a misstep. Whatever might look like a misstep will be part of the journey. Because consciously and unconsciously, I am led by the Spirit of God. Psalm 37 verse 23. He said, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And though he may fall, he will not be utterly cast down. Why can't he be utterly cast down? Because his steps are ordered. So even the fall will be used by God. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks for your word tonight. We give you thanks for the leading of the Holy Spirit that we have. Thank you because you love us, you care for us, you guide us. I believe God just healed a headache. Headache just leaves in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Makala Brosto, Felida Brahando, Soprekidishta Bahane. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because our choices are clearer. We rest in the assurance that we are children of God. Thank you, Most High. In Jesus' name I pray.